everyone, and welcome to episode 3 of the 10-4 show. I wanted to thank you all once again very much for the great feedback and suggestions that we've got in the last 2 weeks, and we really encourage you to keep giving us those comments, brutally honest or not, because we want the quality and the content of this show to be as high as possible, and it to be valuable to those watching it. So please stay as much involved and let us know how we can improve and continue making this better and better. So this week in our New Year's Eve edition, we're going to take a step into the web development space and specifically see how WebForms 4.0 is being enhanced and what features are really being introduced. So before we do that, I wanted to just quickly dispel a misconception that's been kind of floating around for a few months that ASP.NET MVC is Microsoft's new baby in the web development space and that WebForms, whether we say it or not, is being deprecated. And the truth is that that's very much false and, frankly, a little bit utterly ridiculous. Now, instead of me trying to explain or justify either one, the proof really is in the feature set coming with WebForms 4.0. Now, it's not just a minor release, in that there's a ton of functionality, a ton of enhancements, and really just an overall nice release for WebForms, proving that we are still investing a lot of effort into it. So we have lots of new intuitive APIs, a lot of refactoring, making things like control adapters, view state, browser capabilities, a lot of the data controls, enhancing them to be much more user-friendly, much easier to use, much more robust, and so forth and so on. Now in this episode, what we're going to do is take a look at a specific feature, and that is the ability to control the client IDs that are rendered for your server controls. So some of us might be thinking currently that, wow, that's going to be a great feature, and I've been wanting that for so long. Some might be wondering, what does that buy me? And so to really drive home the point and see how this feature will benefit us in our daily lives, let's go ahead and take a look at a demo application and see some code of this new feature in WebForms 4.0. So to demo off the new client-side ID control functionality in WebForms 4.0, I've got a very simple little web app here that really only allows you to kind of sort which 15 movies of 2008 you thought were the best. Once again, nothing special about it, but it's very client-centric and primarily is focused on web standard, semantic markup, playing nicely with JavaScript, CSS, etc. So in this case, I'm using jQuery sortable plugin to do the actual sorting and drag and drop of the items in the list. And also, you notice that I have a drop-down list for selecting the page size of how many items to show. Now, with WebForms currently, if I'm using a drop-down list server control, as I am here, and I examine the rendered client-side ID of the item, let's go ahead and take a look and see what that gives us. So you'll notice that it's ctl00_header_page_size drop-down list. Now, page size drop-down list is the ID of the actual drop-down list control. Header, in this case, is the ID of a user control. And ctl00 is the generated name of the master page this is included in. Now, this may not be the biggest thing in the world, right? And we might not care that this ID was generated for us. But the problem comes into that if we were to use CSS or JavaScript that targeted this ID specifically, it becomes very brittle, right, in that this ID is very much dependent on the actual location of that drop-down list. So if, say, for instance, if we were to move it, stop using a master page, right, so if we just put this directly into a page, the ctl00 would now go away. Or what if we, instead of having it in header, now moved it out to be within the main page, a content placeholder, instead of being in its own separate user control, right? So there's somewhat of a brittleness there, and really it kind of kills the semantics as well, in that we might think that if this truly is a unique element on the page, even though WebForms is doing the right thing for us by trying to uniquely render an ID, what if we really want it to be just page size drop-down list, because we know there's only ever one? So let's go ahead and jump into Visual Studio and see. For example, if we were to just simply copy that drop-down list from within the header user control, as we have it now, and just put it directly in the content page, Right. So imagine this is a scenario we're using, and this is very common, right? Whereas if you're refactoring the UI of an application, you might move pieces around, and you kind of expect them to work. So if we refresh this application, we expect it to look the same way, we expect it to behave the same way, but imagine if we had script or CSS that was specifically targeting the ID that we currently have, ctl00_header_page_size_dropdown_list. So now let's go ahead and take a look at it now and see that it's been changed to ctl00_body_page_size_dropdown_list. So the body comes from the name of the content placeholder in the master page, as you can see there. So it's intuitive enough if you understand how it works, in that both the content placeholder and the user controller naming containers, but it just goes to show that really in this scenario, we would really benefit from having control over what ID was actually rendered to the client. We don't care what user control it's in, we don't care what placeholder it's in, we just know that this element is unique to the page, I want to do some client-side development, whether it be CSS or JavaScript, and I want it to just work. So let's go back into Visual Studio and see how we can leverage the new client ID functionality and see how we can get a better experience. So let's go ahead and move this drop-down list back into our header control, remove it from our content page. And with a very simple property, we can completely change the way this now works. So on the base control class in ASP.NET Web Forms, there's a new property called client ID mode. And what we're going to do is set it to static. Now by doing this, we're telling Web Forms, when you render this element, do not try to look at the parent naming containers and make the ID unique. So if we go ahead and now look at the same drop-down list, see its ID, notice it's just page size drop-down list. So it didn't add the CTL00 for the master page, didn't add the header for the user control. We have just what we want. So it's much more friendly for client development, and it's just going to make things much easier as we need to refactor our UI and anything that was dependent. But what if we also don't like the name of our server-side ID? So in this case, what if I want to call it page-size, even though the ID of it is page-size drop-down list? Well, in previous versions, client ID was only gettable, not settable. So now, we can actually set that, and if we refresh the page, now not only do we have a static ID that's not refactored, but if you notice, we also have it set to the client ID we specified. So now what this gives us is the ability to have static IDs that don't change, as well as IDs that differ between server and the client. Now the static client ID mode works really great if you truly have a single server control that is rendered as an element that is only ever on a page once. Right, so by having a static ID, it makes it much more semantic and kind of one-to-one to the fact that it's one element per page that you can target via JavaScript and CSS really nicely. But what if you have a scenario like we have here with the list of movies, where if you look at the rendered IDs, you'll notice that each LI in the list has its own unique ID. And we need that to be the case. So in this case, right, WebForms generates a unique ID based on the content placeholder, the list view control it's in, as well as the name of the server control, movie link in this case. So how is it that we could benefit from the client ID feature, but still have the uniqueness that we have to have in a scenario where we have a list of different items? So with this, we could use a different type of client ID mode. And what this will allow us to do is accommodate scenarios where we effectively have data-bound controls like list view or grid view. So if we go back to our code, notice that we have a simple list view control here. We're generating a ordered list and a list item server control here with the ID movie link. But what we want to do is go ahead and set its client ID to something different. So I prefer the convention of movie-link for my client ID links, that just because it kind of follows along with the way CSS properties go, but once again, it's up to you. But what we want to do is set the client ID mode to predictable. Now, what predictable does is it's going to say, render out the client ID followed by some type of predictable suffix, but still unique enough to make each individual item different from each other. So by default, what it's going to do is use an auto-incrementing number. So if we make that change and go back and refresh our page, we'll notice that the links will, the generated IDs will be the same, except now they'll have this underscore numerical suffix. So notice we have underscore 0, 1, 2, and so on. So in our case, we'll have up to 14. Now what this does is it gives us a nice little predictable ID in that they're indexed like we have here, but we still have all this gook. We don't want the body underscore movies list view underscore CTRL 0. It's just very unwieldy and much more than we want. So what we can do is if we go up to the list view and set its client ID to static, effectively we're taking any of the child list item's naming container parents, which is the list view and the user control, out of the picture. So now if we go back and refresh after making the list view's client ID mode static, you'll notice that now the ID of the list items is just the client ID of movie-link followed by the predictable suffix, which is the generated ID sequence. But if we don't want just a number, so let's say movie-link underscore 9 or 12 isn't useful for us, there's an extra property on the list view called row client ID suffix. And what this does is this takes a comma-separated list of fields or properties that exist on the item being bound to the control. So in this case, we know that there's a property called title. And let's say we want that to be the property used to determine the predictable suffix. So instead of it being movie-link, it'll be movie-link underscore the title of the actual movie. So if we go back and refresh our list, we'll notice now that the generated ID will be movie-link underscore milk in this case, or The Dark Knight. Now in this scenario, it didn't quite work out because we have spaces in the title. So you can notice there are some gotchas there you want to look out for if you're using the row client ID suffix. There isn't currently any way to tell it to strip spaces from it, right? Because this might be what I want, but the title doesn't really work. So I might want to change that to the ID or something that is actually more useful to me. So once again, the predictable client ID mode just allows you to have still control over your IDs and remove a lot of the generated extra padding that you get from all the layered naming containers, but still have a degree of uniqueness. So if we look at this and we say this is pretty good, but what I want to show finally is how we can actually remove the client ID mode static here. So what if we wanted static to be the default client ID mode on a page level? So what we could do is go up to the page directive, and we could actually say that the client ID mode is equal to static. So now anything that doesn't have an explicit client ID mode set will now become static. So by making that change, we can go back, refresh our page, and even though we're no longer explicitly setting the list view's client ID mode to static, it will now become static because we've made that change at the page level. Now, even taking it a step further, let's say I wanted it to be set at the application level. So instead of doing it at the page level, I can now go into the web config, and on the pages element, I can set the new client ID mode property to static. Now, once again, I can set that to any of the properties, but in this case, I'll set it to static. So let me refresh, and because that's going to take quite a while, let me fast forward in time, and we'll see the effects of that. So now if we go back and take a look at the application now that we've kind of set a default client ID mode in the web config, we'll notice that the generated IDs for our list items are the same, right? So we have movie-title. So nothing special happened here, but we've been able to set a default client ID mode at the application level. So now that we've taken a look at some code and seen at a semi-deep level the way the client ID mode works, primarily around static and predictable, I wanted to just kind of touch on in a little bit more detail kind of the way that the different modes work. So the default mode that if you don't set one is inherit. And the way inherit works is that All it does is it looks at the nearest naming container, and it will go up and up and up a level until it eventually hits the page looking for an explicit client ID mode. And if the page doesn't have one, then it will ask the webconfig. And in the webconfig, if you don't set one, that defaults to legacy. So that's why, out of the box, if you're doing a ASP.NET Web Forms application, it will use the legacy method by default unless you explicitly set a mode. So now if you set the client ID mode to static, what it will do is it will render the client ID or the ID explicitly as you set it, right? So there being a precedence over client ID. If you set predictable, the way it will work is that there is an optional prefix, which is the underscore separated list of naming containers, unless you set one to static, followed by the ID or client ID of the server control, and then followed by a suffix. And that suffix can either be a sequence number, right, as we saw, 0 through whatever, or it can be a more predictable value that you can get from the data keys of the data-bound control. And then finally, legacy, as we've all known, the way that works is that it generates a underscored separated list of the ID or a generated ID, if you don't specify one, prefixed by all of the IDs of the naming containers that come before the server control. So in summary, the main point that I really wanted to stress in this episode of 10.4 is primarily around the fact that WebForms 4.0 contains a ton. So in no way is WebForms being deprecated, is it dying off, or should anyone using that as a platform for web applications be afraid that we're not going to invest a ton of time into making it as good and as best as it possibly can be. So in this episode, we only really got to see the client ID control functionality. In future episodes, we'll dive deeper into other features and kind of see the full breadth of WebForms 4.0 and hopefully give a much deeper appreciation for the release and what it contains. So finally, I hope if everyone enjoyed this episode and the last couple, please continue to follow the show. So you can go to our website and subscribe to 10.4. Every week on Wednesday at 10.04 Pacific Time, we'll post a new episode showcasing new tooling and framework features, as well as if you have any questions or comments, either leave them on the post them on Channel 9 on the page with the video, or you can send us email to 10-4@microsoft.com. So once again, thank you very much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. No.